podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Thinking about how quickly the last 2 weeks have faded very quickly. It almost feels like we're in March and we're actually in January. So I'm bringing back 2018 as the slide just to remind all of us we're still in January. I also wanted to point out what he had expressed earlier about some of the boots that you will find at the back. This today is GI Sunday. This is Get Involved Sunday. It's a Sunday where we present to people the needs of the church, and that this church is not one of the, probably one of the saddest experiences I had moving to Singapore was I preached on the first Sunday I preached here. As I walked out, a gentleman walked up to me and said, I'm a visitor at your church and you preach very well. And he said, I like going to different churches because I like consuming and getting things from different churches because every church has something to offer. And at the back of my head, I was thinking, that's the reason why churches are not prospering is because Christians have that attitude of a consumer and not somebody who's out there to serve, not somebody who's out there to do something for the body of Christ. Calvin Hong was expressing to us a story about a fast food worker. And he was watching this fast food worker, or a businessman rather, was watching this fast food worker. And this fast food worker was making quick swipes and cleans over his counter. And the next day, he walked into the same fast food and he saw a different guy. This time, a younger guy was cleaning, but this time he was working on the crevices. He was working on the glass. He was putting attention to the detail of his cleanliness. So the businessman walked over to the manager and said, you know, yesterday I saw this guy cleaning and he was doing a haphazard job. His heart wasn't into it. And then he said, but there's another guy this morning, he was working very differently. He said, there's a big difference, he said. That other guy is an intern, he's new. The other guy is the son of the owner. Your behavior, and this is important for us on a Sunday morning here, about church determines whether you see this as a spiritual family or a place that I just go to consume. The difference is where the service counts. And I'm saying that at the upfront so you don't feel manipulated. I'm not trying to get you to do stuff. I'm trying to explain to you that church happens because there are people in the church that serve. And the whole point, by the way, of church is to serve one another. This morning, this is what the church looked like. If you walked in here this morning at 7 o'clock, that's what it looked like. And by the time service starts, that's what it looks like. There's a team of people that actually come here early in the morning to set up the wires, make sure that the speakers, this is what this sanctuary looks like. And by the time service starts, this is what it looks like. And the people who do this, by the way, are probably just as busy as you. They're employees, they're workers, they're business people, but they've learned this one idea called service. This is what kids' church looks like. Later in the day, you will have an opportunity to look at a list of opportunities to serve. And I'm not asking you to do this every week. You might want to take a baby step in serving and maybe just one day a year for starters. And if that's even too hard, then we really have a serious problem. Amen? But there's a list of things that you can do here. You can be part of production setup. You could be part of the media team. There's a lot of things that go on here. There's people who set up kids' church. There's the service team. There's the security team. There's the music team. And by the way, if you don't know how to sing, please do not even attempt that one. Okay? We love you, but not that much. Okay? I'm joking. Okay? The point is, we need everybody to serve. And the whole idea is not for just a few, but for everybody to give a little bit of something to make things work. Over the last 2 weeks, we've talked in the beginning of the year about the idea of a bucket list. We talked about the fact that there are specific lists in that bucket, relationships, health. We talked about money, enjoyment, and we talked about excellence. These are the things that if they all came together for us this year, life would be good. We said that as much as there's a bucket, the bucket only works and gets filled up as the days and the weeks and the months and the years continue. And hopefully there's an overflow of life for us to be able to give to others. But we also said at the beginning of this year that the level of life that we enjoy is dependent on where the bucket's walls are. If the bucket's walls in relationships is at this level, the entirety of everything else suffers. Our money will suffer, our enjoyment will suffer, our excellence will suffer, everything about us will suffer. We said that the important thing is that for these walls, whether that's health, whether that's relationships, to gradually be, at least at the very least, be clearly the walls we're trying to build this year. And if we can do that, we can expect some level and measure of overflow, abundance of life, and success. But we also pointed out to the fact that it's not just the sides that matter. In fact, what really matters is the bottom. Because if you had an empty bottom or you didn't have God in place, then you could stuff that bucket with everything you want. But because there's a hole underneath there, at the end of the year, you still have nothing to show for, which is why you need God. And that's why at the beginning of the year, we declared a 5-day of fast. We said we're going to consecrate ourselves. We're going to set everything aside and we're going to thank God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to seek God. And one of the best ways to do that is to fast. We also said that the bucket has principles, and there's nothing new about these principles. We know that relationships work where there's trust, where there's love, there's forgiveness, won't work without those. We said that health works when you have nutrition, rest. There's nothing new about these things. We said that mobility is important if you're going to see health. We said that money works when you earn, you save, and you invest properly. There's nothing new there. We said that enjoyment happens when our relationships are working well and our health is working well and we have a certain amount of money. Sometimes Christians, it's funny how Christians sometimes think money's not important and then they worry. And then every time you ask, what's your prayer request? I need money. Because they're important. And we said that excellence is not just excellence, it's hard work, passion, and discipline. These are the things that create excellence. There's nothing new about these principles. What was new was when we talked about habits. That 60 to 70% of our lives are our behaviors, which are habits. And we said that habits emanate from discoveries. The strength of a discovery, of a revelation, leads to a desire. We saw the life of Adam and Eve and how that went from being godly. And we pointed out that both good habits and bad habits emanate from discoveries that lead to desires. Strong discoveries lead to strong desires. Strong desires lead to decisions we make. Decisions lead to delights. We talked about the rat that got addicted to certain things, and despite attempts at electrocuting them or offering them all sorts of things, once the addiction was set in place, the delight is so strong it becomes an addiction, a devotion, hence destiny, where we end up with. We said last week that studies have shown that we are 60 to 70% habitual people. Now, here's the important reason why we need to talk about that. Because it's not just physical, it's actually rather very spiritual. In fact, I dare say it is demonic. Now, here's the reason why, and this is good theology. Why is that demonic? Because the number of demons are a fixed number. Are you following? They do not get married and they don't multiply like humans. So in other words, the increase of humans does not measure up to the increase in demons. Is everybody following? The per capita volume of demons is not equal to the number of humans. So the way they strategize is they build habits in you. Because if they can build those habits, then we're pretty much autopilot. That's why the Bible says the demons will take a walk, come back when we're clean, start the habit process all over again. Now, we said that the way out was to have intense discoveries. When we have new, fresh discoveries, it will result in strong desires to change. We said those desires will lead to decisions. Unfortunately, because of the strength of the old delights, the old devotions, and the old destinies, it ends up into a dip. The dip turns into a loop, which makes us just go forward, actually go in circles, hence the treadmill of the New Year's resolution. In another 3 months, we're all going to be out of the X diet and out of the gyms. Amen? Because the old habit kicks back in. Take 2-3 rounds of that, and after a while, we drop out and said, I'm out of here. I'm just going to play the game of pretend. Pretend like I'm there, but I'm not really there. Hence, we said there's another strategy. The strategy is to have discoveries in God. Discoveries so strong that it will lead you to desires to live a godly life that's full. Decisions, and not a decision that leads to a dip, but the decision to die to oneself. That decision will lead to new delights, which will lead to new devotions, and which lead to a new destiny. That's what we said the last 2 weeks. That's my 4-minute summary. This would be the ideal strategy for the starting year. Intense revelation and discoveries from the Word of God that lead to desires and decisions to die to myself so that I can grow in the delights of God, devotion to Him, and at some point, life that was destined the way He intended. A few points here. One is discoveries come with fresh eyes. If you want fresh discoveries, you probably need fresh eyes. I remember the day very clearly when I met my wife. At that time, I was a single gentleman. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born again. But I had a discovery. My eyes were open to this beautiful girl. Amen? A discovery led to a desire. How many of you know I would not have been married 35 years now if I didn't make a decision? And how many of you know that the day I married my wife, it didn't end up to be a delight. It actually was a dip. We started fighting. Amen? And it took perennially dying to oneself to get to that marriage of delight and devotion and destiny. Because discoveries come with fresh eyes, and powerful discoveries make for intense desires. The more powerful a discovery is, the more intense your desires become. And it is true that a true desire is proven by the decisions that follow after that. In other words, if it was a true discovery and a true desire, then at some point you will end up with an actual decision to make a shift. One value-based decision can transform your destiny. One decision that says, I'm going to change the trajectory of my life, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to get serious about it this year, could change your entire destiny. A dip, repeated more than twice, is a decision. Don't kid yourself. If every year you've got a dip and you do it again next year, you're actually making an excuse of a dip. You've actually literally made a decision already. Few final points here. Habits are formed one day at a time. They just didn't creep on you overnight. It's a gradual process of discoveries, desires, intense discoveries, intense desires, little decisions, big decisions, minor decisions, onto delight, onto devotion, and down to destiny. In other words, if habits are formed one day at a time, habits are broken also and change one day at a time. So this idea of dying to self is not a one-time moment where you fast at the beginning of the year. It's actually rather a daily moment of choosing to die to yourself and your passions and say, God, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to walk with you this morning. I want to do things your way. Dying to self would be the ultimate strategy for the year. Which brings us to our text this morning. Luke chapter 22, verse 26, Jesus at the Last Supper says, but not so with you. Speaking to his disciples and speaking to us present-day disciples today. Rather, let the greatest among you as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. If you want to start a good year, start by consecrating yourself to God. Start the second part of that is start having a life that says, I'm here to be the greatest. And what that means is I'm here to serve. In other words, I want my bucket full, not just so can I have abundance. I want it full so I have so much to be able to give away to others. For who is the greater? He's now talking to his disciples. This is the Last Supper. This is kind of like the last messages of Christ. He's making a point, a very important point. One who reclines at the table or one who serves? Who is more important? Who's more valuable, the guy who sits around and gets served or the guy who serves? He's asking a question. See, one of the things I love about the Lord is he doesn't manipulate you and doesn't try to impose things on you. But he goes to the heart of the heart of the matter, which is, what are you going to choose? And he says, is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you. He's speaking now as God in the incarnate flesh. I'm sitting here among you as the one who serves. If we are to experience the kingdom of God in our lives, part and parcel of that is consecrating ourselves to God and starting the year with this idea of I was designed to serve. That I will find destiny, I will find my true life, my marriage, my health, and everything else that I do when I learn to serve. How does that work? How do I make sure that I'm dying to myself every day? Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I urge you. Paul speaking to people like us in that day is, this is urgent discussion. This is not something you just start with a year with. This is a pattern for your world. Brothers and sisters. In other words, this is not just for men and this is not just for women. This is for everybody. In view of God's mercy, if you understand the grace of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, if you truly have a good view and understanding of that, then you offer. What that means is you're not being asked, you're not being manipulated, you're actually offering yourself. I'm going up front and saying, use me. That's the attitude of a servant. Offer, not your wife, amen? Not your seatmate. Not your small group leader. Offer your body, not your prayers. Habits are not broken by just praying. Habits are broken when something happens to your body. How many of you know you can think good, but at the end of the day, your body behaves a certain way? It's in the bodies. That's why the Bible says, the spirit is willing. I'm going to go on a fast, but the flesh is weak. It's offering my body as a living sacrifice. It says a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. It's easy to sacrifice when you're dead. Dying to yourself every day is not easy. A sacrifice that is pleasing. This is your worship. This is how you worship God. You think that worship is just on a Sunday where I raise my hands and sing. The Bible says, no, it's being holy, set aside, consecrated every day for God. It's what my agenda is. What pleases you, God? Not what pleases me, what I want. This is my act of service to you. And I know that there's a level of sacrifice. As I close, here's what it says in verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, which is the habits that the devil and the world want you to have. But be transformed this year, progressively. By the renewing of your mind, by having fresh discoveries, fresh desires. Because when you do that, and that you do, you'll be able to test. You'll be able to discern. You'll be able to look at life and say, no value there. No value there. There's value, but not enough. That's valuable. That's valuable. That's worth it. I need to spend time with my son. I need to spend time with... Your value system aligns very clearly. Your decisions are easy to make because you're able to test. What? You're able to approve and say, man, this is great. This is how I should live. God's will and destiny for my life. He's good. God's will is always good. Some of us don't even get there because we didn't even take a baby step to get there. And when you step into the good will of God, you realize, whoa, 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 this is not good. This is actually pleasurable. This is actually the way to live. This is a good way to live. And then as you keep moving forward, you realize, no, it's actually the only way to live. It's the perfect way to live. Let that be the mantra for the year. And here's an opportunity where you can start. And again, I'm not pushing. Who knows? You get out there, you can go into our website or this link, enc.sg/GI Sunday, and this will pop out. If you can't sing, don't click one of those. Amen? But you can check among those things and click submit, and they'll just want to talk to you and meet you and probably let you know and train you and get you going to serve. I have a short message this morning. Serve. Consecrate, serve. Consecrate, serve. Start the year with that mindset. And watch how life transforms into the destiny that God has for you. Amen? Close your eyes, bow your heads, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the men and women that volunteer in this church. We so appreciate them, and we thank you for the spirit of unity in this church. Bless this time together, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.